Well, the first sermon at a new congregation, that's no pressure. There is absolutely nothing to overthink or worry about. I'm thankful for Sue, who on my first actual Sunday here, when Brad was so kind to invite me for the introduction, wrote down on a piece of paper our theme for the next 4 weeks that Brandon began for us. Where is Brandon? Last week. Thank you, Brandon. It was a beautiful message. We are planting a garden in the home where all belong, sowing the seeds of hope and new beginnings. And if we want to talk about how to garden our garden or any garden we will grow, we must start by talking about soil. It's not dirt, it's soil. Like community, soil is something that is built slowly and with constant attention. Constant attention, not just over one lifetime, but over many lifetimes. Just 1 inch of topsoil takes no less than 100 years, and more likely as many as 500 years to build. Can you believe that? In gardening, growth begins with an examination of the soil. What are we working with? In community, growth begins in the embrace of stories. Who are we and where have we been? What brings us here in this moment? And what do we have to offer to one another? And the good news for us this morning is that community broken down and rebuilt from individual stories has happened and is happening and will continue to happen regardless of whose hands mix the soil, water the seeds, or harvest the fruits of that labor. All that is required of us is to live openly to our story, into its entanglement in the stories that are not our own. Would you play our scripture video? Thank you.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. We are only God's servants, through whom you believed the good news. Each of us did the work Spirit gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What is important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building.
Thank you, Fiona. Our stories stretch out into fields further than our eyes can see, with roots deeper than our hands could reach. This field is the unpredictable and sometimes unpleasant mixture of individual joys and sorrows, celebrations and challenges. And somewhere in between the stories you need to hear and the stories I want to tell you is a story waiting to grow. Not your story or my story, but our story, resting and waiting for just the right moment to sprout up from the rich soil built in our new together. I don't imagine that we will see the first greens of this new together truly form in a first sermon, or in a second or third or fourth sermon. While this expediency would feel efficient, it would make for a dull and delicate foundation. The best stories, the healthiest soil, takes shape over seasons as roots grow deep in the lessons of celebrations and failures. The best stories are not found in the fruits that are grown. They are rooted in time spent together discovering the beauty of a world conspiring with life and overflowing with abundant joy, even when the fruit fails to root or quickly rots or never ripens. I believe we live entangled in a magical and mysterious world, one where life is waiting to be discovered in every moment. This is what the past 4 years has taught me. As a pastor at the Land and Interspecies Wild Church, dedicated to connecting with and caring for creation, I learned to see the world as a magical and mystical and fascinating place. Worshiping on the prairie, digging in the garden, planting in the field, it became an undeniable reality that everything around us is enchanted with divine animation, that all of life is just waiting to love and be loved. For 4 years, I watched antelope cross the prairie in the distance as I served dogs communion and baptized from bird baths, shoveled mulch and turned compost and planted seeds on 10 acres of untouched prairie. And there was so much visible support unfolding in the fluctuation of every season. The call of the meadowlark that greeted us in the garden, the steadfastness of the ladybug munching of the trickster aphids, the peacefulness of the rattlesnake, yes, the rattlesnake, sleeping silently in the shade during worship, the brilliance of the bald eagles sending us forth from our gatherings. At the Land, we were imprisoned with a divine reality that we were never alone, that we were being cared for even when we did not know how best to care for ourselves. Even when I knew I could no longer keep pace with the destruction of the surrounding development encroaching on our patch of prairie, I believed deeply in the good that would unfold in the vision I had so passionately planted. The surrounding prairie would be replaced with roadways and housing development, but they could preserve a prairie dog colony, restore the native grasses, grow food for their new neighbors. In my mind, I had planted and they had watered, and hope was growing wildly in that sacred place. After 8 years of development work on the concept of the Land, and then 4 years of pastoral leadership with the Land, I knew it was time for the Land to receive the leadership blessings of someone fresh and new. All the Land needed to grow was a new leader with energy, and all of the growth that had begun would take shape. And I've been trying to wrap my head around why this isn't what ended up happening. I've been trying to make sense out of why the timing of such great laws at the Land lined up the way it did with my leaving. And what I have come to believe is that for me, leaving the Land was not my ending. And the story only makes sense if the ending is arriving here at Highlands with each and every one of you. I prayed that I would be called to pastor this church every day for several weeks. As physical evidence, I brought the red paper card that I had written, Highlands UMC, to my introduction with the leadership team. I had asked the bishop to announce I was stepping down from my appointment at the Land weeks before I knew if there would be anywhere else for me to go, before I knew if there was any place that would want the crazy pastor of the prairie dogs, the rattlesnakes, and the meadowlarks to go there. The ending for the people of the Land and the ending for me as your new pastor isn't the culmination of the scraped prairie to the north, or the loss of the prairie dog colony due to plague that unfolded in my last month and was announced on my last day. It is a promise that in all our helplessness and in all its resulting grief, the ending is always rooted in the first sight of a green new beginning. And I suppose this is the most mysterious and magical treasure of all, that we receive love and grace in the sanctuary of the life existing all around us. That we don't need to do anything special or be anything supernatural to exist as fertile soil in a field where God's love is planted. That our lives, whether we are as hard as concrete or as soft as peat moss, remain fertile ground for God to sow the seeds of a bright and beautiful new beginning, capable, completely capable of transforming even the most horrific of endings. The divine presence in our beginnings is only evident in the public witness of our most difficult endings. This is what Highlands UMC has taught me. In an ending that left me feeling most unacceptable, your wholehearted acceptance made the reality, made real the intentionality and intensity of divine love in the form of blessed beginnings. You have given me the gift of a home with big trees and grassy spaces and wide windows delivering the sounds of children all day long. You have given me the most fertile of endings to plant a new beginning. And I cannot wait to begin planting this beginning with you. Amen.